is VSiN's College Football Tailgate Show, sponsored by Nahoku, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning, as it is a light night of college football, but that doesn't mean we don't have plenty to talk about. And I know a gentleman who will be very excited to talk all things Indiana, our resident Hoosier, Wes Reynolds. He's going to join us in 15 minutes. We will also get the latest on Army-Navy with Bill Wagner, longtime beat reporter of the Navy midshipman. We just heard from Mike Sanford. He was live from the press box at M&T Bank Stadium. He likes Army today, but you know that is the unique aspect of the Army-Navy game, because we'll hear a true handicap of that game from Josh Nunn in just a little bit here. But a lot of us, at some point, someone in our family served in the Army or in the Navy, Air Force, whatever it may be, and they've got a bias, right? You know, for me, I didn't serve, of course not, because, well, look at me, come on now. But I did work on the broadcast team for a couple of years, so I always want Navy to win this. Also, growing up in Maryland, not too far from Annapolis, I actually lived in Annapolis for a little while, but you just heard Mike Tay that his dad served in the Army. And he said, go Army, beat Navy. So we'll see how this one plays out today. But let's hear from the head coaches of this game. Right now, Army and Navy. Right now, Navy, a 6.5-point favorite. Had a very strong season led by their stud quarterback, Blake Horvath. Brian Newberry is their head coach, and he embarks on another year in this rivalry.
Coach, this is now the seventh time you get to coach in this game. How has the importance of it really evolved in your 7 years here at Navy?
Yeah, well, I think when I first got here, I didn't really understand the magnitude of it. You know, I can remember the first game back in 19 as the coordinator being up in the press box. I couldn't write on my notepad. I was so anxious, you know, at the kickoff of that game. But just the magnitude of it, how important it is to so many people, not just our players, but people in the Navy and the Marine Corps that are out there serving now, our veterans, everybody involved with the institution in Annapolis, and that you just didn't realize how far-reaching, you know, and how important it was to so many people, and what a great source of pride it is, and not just to win the game, but how our kids play the game and how they represent the Naval Academy.
Over at VSiN.com, you can check out our betting splits if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. Right now, Navy, 74% of bets on the midshipmen lay in the chalk, 75% of the handle. The total, pretty interesting over at DraftKings. 38.5 is the number. We know that historically games have trended under in this rivalry, and all service academy games, right? 45, 12, and 5 to the under since 2005. However, last year this game went over. Navy and Air Force went way over earlier this year. 57% of the bets on the over, 53% of the handle on the under in Army and Navy. Jeff Monken, the head coach of Army, he has beaten Navy 6 times, but last year, of course, coming up short against the midshipmen, despite being 6.5-point favorites against Navy. Let's hear from the head coach of Army as he gets ready for another showdown with the CIC on the line.
Just the excitement of this game, the pageantry, the history. It's an incredible rivalry, and to be completely embedded in it as we are as competitors, coaches, and players, and everybody associated. You know, just an awesome feeling to be a part of a game like this. It's, you know, obviously a huge game for both teams. It means so much to the academies, to the graduates, to the men and women that serve in the respective branches, but none more than the guys that are going to be playing in the game. And so it's exciting to be here, but we know that there's so much to be done. The preparation, the practices, the meetings, all of the things that go into having a team prepared to play their very best football in this game is what is really important. And so we're working, you know, as hard as we can. We did all last week and have been this week, and we'll continue to prepare for, you know, our biggest game of the year.
Cale Helms is the quarterback for Army. Last year was Captain America, Bryson Daly. And as good as your quarterback is, as how far your team goes, Army has been an up-and-down team this year, right? You start the season with a loss to Tarleton State, but then you go on the road and you beat Kansas State, you come back and win that game. You fast-forward to blowing a lead against Tulsa, clinching the win total under. Thank you very much. And then you wrap up with a win at UTSA, where it is very challenging to win on the road against Jeff Traylor's squad. So they've been a bit of Jekyll and Hyde, has Army this year. They will be in a bowl game because of that win over UTSA. Helms, by the way, has rushed over 1,000 yards, 15 touchdowns this year. Blake Horvath, 1,000 yards rushing, a little bit over that, 14 rushing touchdowns this year. But he can throw it. He can spin it a little bit. And that's something that Joshua Nunn, who joined us earlier in the show, discussed regarding Navy and why ultimately he leans a little bit more towards the midshipman in this spot, is that quarterback play and that ability for Navy to throw the football. Navy creeping close to a 7-point favorite, 38.5, 39.5 is the total. What do your numbers spit out for Army and Navy and any bet that you have on today's America's game?
Yeah, my power ratings have this 7.5, and I think that Navy is going to have some significant advantages here. When you look at their rushing production over the totality of the season, 3,282 rushing yards, 6.1 yards per carry on the ground, 38 rushing touchdowns for Navy. Army's nearly 2 yards per carry less in their rushing offense. Army is so heavily driven by quarterback runs. 61% of their rushing attempts are executed by the quarterback. And I just feel that Navy's defense, while not as strong as in prior seasons, they have intimate knowledge of the nuances of what Army wants to do with their offense. They'll be well equipped to defend the scheme. I think Navy is equipped with more explosivity on offense. They've got a better fullback in Teska. I like Heidenreich on the outside. Mm-hmm. I like Horvath a little better than Blake Helms. I just think when this all spits out here, it's going to be a situation similar to last year. We saw Navy dominate a much more talented Army team last season. I'm not afraid of the number here. I laid it with Navy -6.5.
So I want to mention something about Eli Heidenreich. So when you think about Army and Navy, more often than why do they run the triple option, right? They don't have the level of athletes that most of the teams that they're facing do, but they try to nullify that by running the unique triple option. Now, Drew Kronick is the offensive coordinator for Navy. He has been tremendous in that role and has actually garnered, I believe, some interest from low-level power or G5 teams from a head coaching standpoint. But that push that to the side. This Navy team is not afraid to throw the football now with Blake Horvath and a guy like Eli Heidenreich. Last year, against Army, Heidenreich had one catch, but it went for 52 yards and a touchdown. This year against Air Force, Eli Heidenreich, a wide receiver for Navy, put up 8 catches for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. So if you're looking for a prop bet and you're in a state that allows you to bet a prop bet on Army-Navy today, I think Eli Heidenreich to score a touchdown at +120 is an interesting angle because you know they're going to take some shots, right? They're going to feel each other out. They're going to have their base offense. But I've seen this rivalry long enough where both of these teams are going to want to try to catch their opponent off guard, right? And they both had multiple weeks to prepare for this game. A unique aspect, and I mentioned this a couple times during the show, in last year's 31-13 win by Navy was that Navy had the extra time to prepare while Army was playing in the American Championship the week prior and they beat Tulane. So both these teams have had multiple weeks to prepare for it. I would imagine multiple unique wrinkles. And Eli Heidenreich, a wide receiver, I think could find himself into the end zone. I was hoping for a little juicier price than +120, but I certainly think that he is a player to look at. If you're wondering, what is Blake Horvath? What is Case Helms, the two quarterbacks, anytime touchdown price? At DraftKings right now, Blake Horvath to score a touchdown is -215, and Cale Helms is -195. So you're not getting anything on sale with the two quarterbacks for these two service academies here today. But Blake Horvath, a year ago, man, it was really impressive to see this Navy team as a dog last year win this game going away 31-13. A year ago, Blake Horvath on the ground ran for 204 yards against Army. This year, looking at his rushing prop, he's at 110 plus. Actually, Cale Helms, believe it or not, his numbers are higher at DraftKings at 120 plus yards at plus 106. So they're both hovering in that short 100 plus yards. But if I had to bet a player prop today, I would go Heidenreich to score a touchdown. I think he finds the end zone. We have a bowl game tonight, the LA Bowl. And I know we got some tweets today saying, kind of wish Army-Navy was a standalone. I hear what you're saying, but it is, right? You get it, and then you're going to want a game tonight, and we do get that. We get Boise State taking on Washington. We heard from Mike Sanford, maybe a little bias in his opinion there on the Boise State Broncos. I just don't love the spot for Boise. And I know we talk about spots all the time, and it's a bowl game, right? You're going to be up for it. You're playing a P4 team. You just played 8 days ago. So I have not made the bet yet. I would be on Washington if I were to make this game. The reason I haven't made the bet yet, I almost need that clarification again. Jed Fish can tell me that Jonah Coleman and Denzel Boston and Taco Davis and all of their future pros are playing, but I want to hear it tonight from the broadcast team. These guys are active. They're playing. So I would lean Washington in this spot. Cage Casey, the left tackle for Boise State, is out. He has opted out. He is going pro, and we will see how much that affects this Boise State team from a protection standpoint without their stud left tackle in the game. Hey, just a reminder, before the line moves, the sharp plays already there. Since 2011, they've backed it all up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. You can check them out online, sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com. A gentleman who hasn't stopped smiling in 7 days, Wes Reynolds. He joins the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, presented by Nohoku Jewelers, next.
To VSiN's College Football Tailgate Show, sponsored by Nohoku.
Yes, we keep it rolling here, and I wanted to pass this across to you guys because it's always important to look around, and thanks to one of our producers, Danny, just popped in and said, hey, if you like Eli Heidenreich to score a touchdown, FanDuel plus 170 right now. All right, see? Shop around. Find those better numbers. I was like, all right, plus 120, Heidenreich score a touchdown. Well, I'd like 50 cents more, please. So FanDuel plus 170. We have it here, Boyd Gaming, if you're in Nevada. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line. A gentleman who has been smiling ear to ear since last Saturday night when he was at Lucas Oil Stadium watching his beloved Indiana Hoosiers beat Ohio State for their first Big Ten championship since 1967, first outright title since 1945. Wes Reynolds joins us right now, courtesy of our progressive guest line. Wesley, you get to sit back, get to put your feet up. Your quarterback's going to win the Heisman Trophy. You're going to the Rose Bowl. Like, what could be wrong in the land of Hoosier?
Well, ask us in about several hours, Tim, if they lose at Rupp Arena tonight. Indiana and Kentucky, by the way, renewed and should be on the schedule every single year. Like, that's an old school rivalry. Like, young Kentucky people or even young IU people don't recognize what a fierce rivalry that was all the way back to when Adolph Rupp was coaching at Kentucky. Bob Knight against Joe B. Hall. Like, this is the way it should be, Indiana against Kentucky, where it should be home and home. And that was the whole holdup in this series, right? Is that John Calipari for many years, oh, I want to play it in Atlanta, or I want to play it in Madison Square Garden, or I want to play it in Chicago. It's like, no, play it in Bloomington and Lexington like it should be. And fortunately, Scott Dolson and Mitch Barnhart, the two ADs of the respective institutions, got that done. So we're getting Hoosiers and Cats tonight with Dickie V and Sir Charles on the same call. So Man. That's going to be fun just in itself.
Yeah, at the same time, Mendoza's going to win the Heisman Trophy. You're going to be watching Indiana take on Kentucky. I do want to get back to college basketball here in just a little bit, but being that it is the tailgate show, just looking at the playoff, you know, right now, early thoughts. By the way, Wes joins me every Wednesday on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, so check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Early thoughts on the first round games, anything you've played or are looking to play in the games that'll take place a week from today?
Nothing I played in the four first rounds as of yet. I'll probably have something, but just kind of eyeballing it here. And we talked about it on the college football podcast on Wednesday, Tim, is that I think the line is right with Alabama, Oklahoma. You're probably going to just see a flip of favorites, you know, back and forth with these guys. But and Alabama outstated Oklahoma in the first meeting, almost doubled them in yards. But Oklahoma with those three turnovers, and we were fortunate we were both on the Sooners. You know, what's going to be different here? The total looks low at 40.5, and that's going to favor Brett Venables, I think, and his guys. So initial lean would be to Oklahoma, but I have not played it as of yet. And then looking at Tulane and Ole Miss, what's Ole Miss's mindset right now? Now that Lane Kiffin has left, they got the assistants back. Are they going to be out to, like, hammer Tulane like they did in the first meeting? So market kind of sees it that way, even though you haven't had a lot of movement. It's pretty much 17.5. Miami and Texas A&M, I think, is the best game of the four. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to get two-way action there on both sides. Texas A&M kind of been a little out of sight, out of mind since Black Friday after they lost to Texas.
Wes Reynolds joining us here. Follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. Read all of his content over at vsin.com. Check out his plays as well. And I want to get to an FCS game that we're starting to see the market move pretty quickly here. Kickoff coming up top of the hour. We've got Tarleton State. And I like the fact that we've got this the synergy because they opened up the season with a win over Army. Army plays Navy today. So we've got the Texans taking on Villanova here. There's still some 13.5s out there. And I saw you putting a play over at vsin.com. So what do you like in the FCS quarterfinals today?
Yeah, I might be late to the party, but I did lay minus 13 with Tarleton, and you're starting to see even some 14 show. And honestly, you know, it's a little bit going with the market. I don't consider myself a specialist in FCS, much like your previous guest, Joshua Nunn, who's terrific in FCS. But I look at it last night. We saw the move to Montana State, right? And they covered all numbers against Stephen F. Austin. They were betting it like they had tomorrow's newspaper, and apparently they did. I think, you know, Tarleton, this is a really good conference, by the way, down there that they play. They're the two really good conferences are the Valley, where North Dakota State, who got upset last week, and South Dakota State and all those teams are in. And then they play good football down there in Texas with Tarleton State. Victor Gabalis is the quarterback for these guys. They can move it through the air or on the ground. I just think this is going to be a little bit much for Nova, and clearly the market agrees.
Wes Reynolds joining us here. Wes, I want to get to one of the bowl games later this week. It's a unique spot with Old Dominion in South Florida where we've got Alex Golish. He's already left and brought some of his staff to Auburn. We found out that both quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, will not be playing in this game. We've seen the market come in here a little bit, Old Dominion and South Florida. What do you make of this spot in the Cure Bowl on Wednesday?
I did play ODU at 5.5, and that was just taking a number when the Brown news was going to come down. But if you look at the Old Dominion side too, Ricky Ron signed a contract yesterday, contract extension, 4 more years at ODU. It was kind of like seen as a foregone conclusion that he was going to reunite with James Franklin at Virginia Tech, but he's staying the head coach at Old Dominion. And sometimes, you know, and we might see that with BYU in the game in the Pop-Tarts Bowl against Georgia Tech. When that coach stays, players are excited, man, and they're just raring to go, and that gives them that little bit of energy. So South Florida, I just think disappointment where they thought they were might have been the best team in the American. They don't even make the championship game. So I think you got a more motivated Monarchs bunch. So I agree with the drop here at 3, probably a little bit late if you're taking Old Dominion.
Pound for pound, certainly South Florida, the more talented team, but I think the point you make is very important, right? Byron Brown is not going to play. I think he's going to be an assistant or something like that for this game. Like, mm-hmm. Where's South Florida's mind at for this game? Old Dominion has not won a bowl game under Ricky Ronnie. It's Wes Reynolds joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. All right, circling back real quickly to your Hoosiers, and we'll get some college basketball thoughts here before we let you run. But Indiana will get the winner of Oklahoma and Alabama. We'll start there. Is there a preference for you when you head out to Pasadena to see your beloved Hoosiers? Do you have a preference of who you'd rather see, Alabama or Oklahoma?
You know, I've been thinking about that, Tim, and it's kind of like 50-50 here. I think Alabama has more ways to beat you offensively, certainly, than Oklahoma does. But I think Oklahoma is a little bit of a tougher defense. And you know, that's going to be tougher for Indiana, I think, to score on. They're kind of like the Iowa of the SEC almost, where they're not scoring a ton of points, even though they brought in Mateer and Arbuckle. Offensive numbers have been down, but defensively, man, they really get after you. So, you know, really from to face a weaker offense, I'd rather face Oklahoma. But to face a weaker defense, I'd rather face Alabama.
So Oregon and Texas Tech, I know you don't want to put the cart before the horse, but you're not Kirk Cignetti. You can project where your team will go. Assuming you take care of business at the Rose Bowl, do you want a rematch with Oregon, or would you rather face some fresh blood in Texas Tech in the semis?
Probably would rather have Texas Tech, to be honest with you, even though I felt when I was at the game in Autzen, I felt Indiana was better than Oregon. And they were really better at the line of scrimmage where they sacked Dante Moore six times. So, you know, I don't think the Hoosiers should really fear anybody. And that's something we as fans got to get over. It's like we can take on all comers at any time, but you never know how the playoffs going to shake out.
Well, you know, the real Indiana team was screwed over, so you don't have to face them, Wes. You know, I mean, that's the real way.
Yes.
Wes Reynolds joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. All right, Wes, before I let you run, massive college basketball slate. Look, this show will become the VSiN weekend morning line in a couple of weeks, and we'll be focusing a lot on college basketball. But what do you like today in the college basketball slate?
Well, we were talking about following the market earlier. Let's fade the market here early at 9 a.m. Pacific. Let's go Penn State plus 11.5 against Michigan State. Nobody's on Penn State. Penn State got beat by almost 40 in Bloomington against Assembly Hall. I think Lamar Wilkerson, by the way, just hit another three as the all-time Assembly Hall scoring record for Indiana. So Michigan State, first road game. They've had a week for that first loss to Duke. I thought this number was a little high at 11.5, and I'm not high on Penn State, but I think they hang in with Izzo's guys. So that is one I played. And then Indiana, Kentucky tonight, market's moved it, but you're probably getting a ton of points between these two teams. Market has come in on Indiana, which surprises me a little bit because Kentucky has not won any of their high profile games. This looks like a spot where they could get it. This is down to 2.5. I can't really bet Kentucky on this particular day for Hoosier Nation, but that's a low number for the Cats here. That is, I don't agree with this move.
Wes, it's going to be another great day. First time in school history, you're going to have a Heisman Trophy winner. Not too shabby. Man, that guy's Kirk Cignetti's pretty good at his job, huh?
He wins. Google him.
Yeah, I will. I will do that. Wes, appreciate you as always.
You bet, Tim. Thank you.
There he is, our guy, Wes Reynolds. At Wes Reynolds 1, he joins me each and every Wednesday on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We'll head back to M&T Bank Stadium, talk some Army-Navy, but just a reminder, before the line moves, the Sharp Plays, they are already there. Check them out, sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line, visit sharpplays.com.
Welcome back to VSiN's College Football Tailgate Show, sponsored by Nahoku.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We do have, I will say, a busy college basketball slate, NBA Cup as well. Don't worry, it's not going to be all just college football today on the network, even though we've got Army-Navy and we got some FCS playoffs. I just talked to Dustin Sweetelson, live bet Saturday. They'll be focusing on everything as we get rolling. So we'll wrap this show up talking lots about today. Next week, of course, college football playoff, plenty of bowl thoughts as well. But the best one of the day, America's game, it is Army versus Navy. And a gentleman who has been covering Navy for quite some time for the Indianapolis, it is Bill Wagner, who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, live from M&T Bank Stadium. Bill, what number Army-Navy game is this for you personally? All right. Do we have Bill?
Hey guys, I'm hearing a bunch of chatter and I'm barely hearing the host.
All right. We'll try to get this. We'll try to get this figured out. Bill, maybe a little bit of a mix up there from a standpoint there. But hey, just a reminder, I want to do a little bit of a note here. So I have the opportunity to do some bowl games for our friends at Bowl Season Radio, and they have live national coverage of 20 bowl games this year, all of them airing on SiriusXM, the Varsity app, as well as TuneIn, and plenty of radio stations across the country. They have games coming up this week, the Salute to Veterans Bowl. That'll be on Tuesday at 9 p.m., the Cure Bowl and 68 Ventures Bowl, a doubleheader on Wednesday, the Xbox Bowl on Thursday, Saturday, Myrtle Beach and Gasparilla Bowl on Friday. So check them out for their full slate of games. You can follow them on Twitter at Bowl Season Radio. Six broadcasts this week, so check them out. All the games will air on Sirius XM and also across a number of top markets, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, here in Las Vegas, San Francisco, the nation's capital. So Bowl Season Radio, they're home for 20 bowl games this year, and I will be a part of three of those broadcasts. So looking forward to being back on. All right, we do have Bill Wagner back with us. And Bill, I know we had crossed wires a little bit there. Army-Navy today. I am curious, you've been covering the midshipmen for quite some time there in the, in Annapolis. What number Army-Navy game is this for you?
I counted it. I think I'm in on my 28th today.
Wow. 28th. He is the beat writer for Navy, Annapolis Capital. All right, let's jump into this game because last year, Bill, I think we had you on the program, and I like Navy in this spot a year ago. They were the underdog. You know, they had an extra week to prepare. Army was coming off of the AAC championship game. How different, when you look at Navy, is this team from last year to what we'll see today when they take the field in Baltimore?
Well, I actually think this Navy team is every bit as good as last year's Navy team, and they've accomplished pretty much the same thing. They're on the cusp of winning 10 games 2 years in a row for the first time in program history. That's 146 years of football, so that's quite a remarkable accomplishment. This Navy team actually tied for first place in the American Conference, didn't get to the conference championship game due to tiebreakers, but on paper, in terms of record and performance, they're actually a little bit better than last year. But you mentioned Army, that was not, we did not see Army at its best in last year's Army-Navy game. They played a very physical game against Tulane in the conference championship, and they just did not seem to have their legs, and Navy won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So I expect this to be a much better game than last year, both teams having 2 weeks to prepare.
You know, one thing I've talked about, Bill, a little bit on the program is the ability that Blake Horvath, the quarterback for Navy, to throw the football, right? He's a little bit more unique than what we've seen at that quarterback position over the years. He's certainly a very good runner. He's run for over 1,000 yards this year and 14 touchdowns. But he and Eli Heidenreich have a great rapport. We saw it last year for that touchdown strike against Army. We saw it on display against Air Force. Do you anticipate some aerial attacks today from Blake Horvath, and will he be looking to Heidenreich?
Oh, absolutely. Eli Heidenreich is the number one target. And yes, Blake is a very good thrower, but it's also the offense. Drew Cronick's, what he calls the millennial wing tee, it incorporates a lot of passing concepts. That's a big part of what he does. He's thrown the ball successfully everywhere he has been. And I think that's a big difference here in this game because Army has not been very successful throwing the ball. They don't throw the ball that much at all. They are they're almost 75% run. I think Navy's ability to throw is a big difference in this game because with both teams loading up to stop the run, at some point you have to complete some passes downfield.
You know, is that going to be the X factor today, Bill? Bill Wagner covers Navy for the Annapolis Capital, has been doing so for quite some time. You mentioned 28th Army-Navy game. For Navy to win, well, I guess not for Navy to win, but is the X factor today the ability to complete some passes? Because you mentioned it. It feels like if Army were to win, they're kind of grind this thing out. It does feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, this Navy offense does feel a little bit more dynamic, has a couple more ways to beat you.
Absolutely. That's what Navy has got, big playability. They've got a ton of explosive plays, and they can strike quickly. That's not Army's game. Army is going to milk the clock and long drives. You know, they've had seven drives of 15 plays or more this season. That's remarkable. They lead the nation in time of possession. So, yeah, that's the difference between these teams. One can score quickly, and the other has to really drive the length of the field. And I think a key thing for Navy is they got to find ways to get off the field. The Army's going to go for it on fourth down all the time. I mean, if they're at fourth and two, fourth and three, almost anywhere on the field, they're going to go for it. That's just their game. So Navy's got to be able to get off the field. They can't allow Army to dominate possession.
B. Wagner _ Cap Gazette, or GAZ, I should say, on Twitter is where you could find Bill Wagner. All right, Bill, before I let you run, Bill Wagner will be covering Army and Navy from M&T Bank Stadium today. What's your vision? How do you see this one playing out? Do you have a prediction for today?
Yeah, I think Navy's probably going to win something like 28 to 21 or in that range. I just Army's only averaging 23 points a game. They don't score a lot of points. And Navy is averaging almost 34 points a game. So I don't see Army being able to keep pace on the scoreboard in this. Nothing has shown me all season that Navy can be held below, 24 points or so. So I see it like Navy 28, Army 21.
Bill, appreciate the insight as always, and enjoy another Army-Navy game.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time. Always good to talk to you.
There he is, Bill Wagner. Appreciate him joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, Army and Navy today. Handful of games. We will revisit what Joshua Nunn said to us regarding Villanova and Tarleton State, part of the FCS playoffs, in the final segment of the program. But we have two games in the FBS today, Army-Navy. Right now, the point spread six and a half. Total 38.5 here at Circa. It was 39.5. It is now 39, juiced under at minus 15. It's interesting to hear from Bill. He actually thinks his prediction 28-21. That's a rather high-scoring game, and I think it is worth noting what he pointed out is that Navy, granted, against teams of higher-level athleticism, struggled quite a bit on the defensive side, but they have some explosiveness offensively. We talked about Eli Heidenreich. We've discussed Blake Horvath over 1,000 rushing yards. Alex Teska, their fullback. So this is a Navy team that can beat you a number of ways. Army, it does feel like it has to be a grinder. So I am thinking if you like Army, it does feel like this is a bit of a correlated situation. If Army wins and covers, feels like it's an under. If Navy wins and covers, I do feel like it is more likely to be over. I think it's more correlated with Army than it would be with Navy. On the other side, we do get a game tonight, Boise State and Washington, the LA Bowl, and right now 10s across the board. There is a 9.5 right now out there at FanDuel if you do like Washington. The hesitation I have on this game, I've mentioned it a number of times, is Washington actually going to be full go? Are they going to be fully motivated for this game? Jed Fish seemed to indicate that they would. I'll be honest, if I'm Jonah Coleman, if I'm Denzel Boston, probably don't play in this game. But if they want to play one last time with their brothers at Washington, who am I to make that decision for them? Damon Williams is a very exciting quarterback. This is a Washington team that has struggled at times on the road. You think going on the road to Wisconsin and losing that game as a double-digit favorite. However, when they traveled to L.A. to take on UCLA, they dominated the Bruins. So this isn't a clear-cut Washington stinks on the road type of situation. And then on the flip side for Boise State, I mentioned the big opt-out of Cage Casey, their left tackle, being out. My question about Boise State, and I really liked them last week against UNLV, is was that their bowl game? Winning the conference championship again, right? You saw them 2 years ago in this bowl game against UCLA. It was a unique spot where they went, they rallied behind Spencer Danielson. They won the conference championship against UNLV 2 years ago. He got the full-time job, and then they led at halftime against UCLA and got blown out in the second half. They lost 35-22 in that one. So we'll give some final thoughts on Boise State, Washington. Final thoughts on some bowl games you'll get this week. And of course, some college football playoff thoughts. We wrap things up. It has been the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, presented by Nohoku Jewelers on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to VSiN's College Football Tailgate Show, sponsored by Nohoku.
Every Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, we're with you right here on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. In a couple of weeks, we'll pivot it to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We'll talk a ton about college basketball. We'll have NFL games on Saturday. But still, for the next couple of weeks, focusing exclusively on college football. Worth noting, live bet Saturday coming up next with Ben Stevens and Dustin Sweetelson. Loaded slate of college basketball. Obviously, a couple of college football games and the NBA Cup still to come later on tonight here in Las Vegas. So a lot to get to all across the sports world, but we have been focusing on the college football landscape as we always do each and every Saturday with you guys here on the program. We'll get to some best bets here in just a moment regarding the college football playoff. But the two games today, we've got Army and Navy, 3 o'clock Eastern kickoff right now. Navy, a 6.5-point favorite, total around 38.5, 39. Brad Powers, college football handicapper, was on VSiN Primetime on Thursday night, and he gave his thoughts on how he's going to be betting Army-Navy later today.
So I'm not afraid to, you know, I'm certainly, you know, it was an automatic under bet forever, but keep in mind, I date myself here, but at the start of that streak, when it went 16 straight, I mean, you're getting unders at like 51, 52, upper 40s, and it kept going all the way down to that 28 a couple years ago. We've actually seen a couple overs here in recent years. What I actually, I'm leaning towards Army. I'm leaning towards the over. Let's combine the two. I played Army team total over 15.5. Not a big bet, but a bet.
46-12-5 to the under in service academy games since 2005. But it is worth noting, Air Force and Navy flew over the total earlier this year. And last year, the total went over as well. 39.5 was the total last year, and Navy won that game 31-13. I don't have a best bet on this game. One game, one prop that I did look at, and shout out to Danny once again for finding the better number. FanDuel has Eli Heidenreich to score an anytime touchdown at plus 170. I think he's going to be involved quite a bit. In the pass game tonight, he was explosive against Air Force, had 3 touchdowns, over 200 yards receiving. Last year, 1 catch, but it went for 52 yards and a touchdown. So if you're looking for a little fun bet today, Eli Heidenreich, anytime touchdown, plus 170 would be the way for me. If Army got to 7, probably would look to back the Black Knights, but Eli Heidenreich, anytime touchdown, you're going to be the only small play for me in that game. We also have the L.A. Bowl later on tonight as Boise State taking on Washington. And the big question with all of these bowl games is who is going to play? We know for Boise State, their left tackle, Cage Casey, he has opted out as he is headed to the NFL draft. Certainly a significant loss for Boise State. But what about Washington? Is Jed Fish's squad going to be all there when they take the field later tonight at SoFi Stadium?
You win 8 games. In the Big Ten Conference, you have an opportunity to play in a bowl game, and you have to treat it as such. And you have to enjoy every moment of it. These kids are rewarded for it. You get to 9 wins. These bowl games are special. I don't understand the opt-outs of them. I listened to Clark Lee at Vanderbilt talk about what an amazing experience playing in a bowl game is, and how they love football over there, and they would never want to opt out, and I couldn't agree more. With that same exact philosophy. I expect everyone to be there. Yes, I would expect everybody to be there. And I don't see anyone that, I have not heard about anyone not going. And then I have not heard anybody at this point in time talking about opting out of the game itself. But we'll see. It's 2025, so anything can happen.
That was earlier this week, Jed Fish addressing the media. He doubled down yesterday at the press conference and said, doesn't expect anyone to be out. We'll believe it when we see it. If Washington is full strength, I think they win and I think they cover. If you're in one of those confidence pools for, you know, a bowl pick'em, I would put a decent amount of confidence on Washington to win this game. I haven't laid the 10 yet. There is a 9.5 out there. That would be the way that I would look. But I still do have some hesitation, even though Jed Fish has been so adamant that no one's going to be opting out of this game. Denzel Boston's a first-round pick, or a fringe first-round pick. Does he really want to play in the L.A. Bowl sponsored by Gronk or whatever it is? So if he plays, I think Washington's the side. If they do have some opt-outs, that's where I would get a little bit curious on how this all plays out. And lastly on this game, Boise State, I just, coming off of the Mountain West Championship game, they put all that effort into winning that game against UNLV. They look very strong in doing so. Maddox Madsen utilized his mobility in that game. Is he going to be able to do that today against Washington? I don't know. It'll be a lean to me on Washington. We'll get to my best bets for the college football playoff here in just a moment, but we do have FCS games coming up today, and we had Joshua Nunn on from the Action Network, who does a really terrific job of handicapping the FCS. He likes Prairie View A&M. The market likes them as well. That number is moving up. Right now, money line price on Prairie View around minus $1.30 at FanDuel, but he also gave his thoughts on Villanova and Tarleton State. This game starting at the top of the hour. Here was Joshua Nunn earlier today on Tarleton State hosting Villanova in the FCS quarterfinals. Well, Tarleton State's still playing. They're in the quarterfinals. They're taking on Villanova. They're around a 12.5-point favorite here in this spot against the Wildcats. They're at home. What do we make of Tarleton State? It looks like the market likes the Tarleton State side here.
Yeah, and Tarleton State is going to become a perennial household FCS name. This program is built for long-term success. They've got facilities, they've got resources, and they really love their football down there. You look at Tarleton State in this matchup, I was very impressed with the Texans and what they were able to do last week against the University of North Dakota. They were able to out-physical UND at the point of attack. They were able to stop the run game. Their offensive line controlled the terms when they had the ball. Legitimate receivers. They've got an explosive running back, Hines, who transferred in from Hawaii. Victor Gabalis has 28 touchdowns to just 5 interceptions. I'm afraid for Villanova to be able to cover the skill position weapons that Tarleton State is equipped with. And then when you look at the way that Villanova won last week against Lehigh, Lehigh moved the ball up and down the field against Nova. It was 3 trips into the red zone for Lehigh that they flubbed up, which caused Villanova to stay in that game. Probably should have been down by 3 touchdowns after the third quarter, but didn't play out that way. Nova is not going to be able to run the football here. They couldn't run it last week, and this Texans defense is very stout against the run. So we're going to see Pat McQuaid have to do a lot with his arm, and that is a position that Nova is going to be uncomfortable in. You factor in the pass rush. You factor in the fact that Tarleton State has forced 38 turnovers this season. I think this could go sideways for Villanova very, very quickly. They're a good CAA team when they're playing teams at their level, but this is a big step up for them. Tarleton State should win this game by 3 touchdowns.
All right, could win the game by 3 touchdowns. So that would mean they would cover a 2-touchdown spread. So Tarleton State right now, if you look around, is laying 13.5. That game kicking off noon down there in Texas. So looking forward to the slate today. Looking forward to being back with you next week to preview 3 college football playoff games and also recap Oklahoma and Alabama. So earlier this week on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, handed out a handful of plays for the playoff, and let's jump into those. I'm on Alabama, and I know Duck, we heard from him. I like to hear opposing sides, and I get why someone would be on Oklahoma. I thought his points were valid on why he liked Oklahoma, which is the defense is nasty, maybe the best defense in college football, and he had 3 weeks for John Mateer to get healthy. I look at Alabama, are they going to get healthy? You're coming off of, in my opinion, their worst performance of the season or second worst when they lost to Florida State in week number 1. So they bookend their season with terrible performances, at least in the regular season. Do we get a bounce back performance from Alabama? I tend to think we do. I am a bit worried, I will say, about the health of Ty Simpson. Is this back issue going to really be an issue? So I do have Alabama as a best bet. I laid the chalk with Oregon, and I laid 21, still would look 21.5. I thought Brad Powers had a good suggestion. If you're looking at Oregon, maybe team total over is a better look at this current price. But when I look at James Madison, look, it's not their fault they made the college football playoff. It's not their fault that the ACC is run by a bunch of morons and had that 5-way tiebreaker that allowed Duke to go to the playoff as our championship as opposed to Miami. So it's not JMU's fault that they're in this thing. But they still have to go on the road to Autzen Stadium. And they have to face an Oregon team that I think is going to be grinding their teeth to get that horrific loss from last year's playoff out of their system. They were down 34-0 in the Rose Bowl to Ohio State. I also think this Oregon team, is going to be getting better and healthier, right? So I like Oregon. And then lastly, I like Miami, Texas A&M under 51.5. You know, I look at this Miami defense, the way they attack on the lines, very impressive. I think Marcel Reed could be put into some tricky spots. And does Mario Cristobal play this one a little bit closer to the vest? So under 51.5 was a play for me there as well. Just a reminder, the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show is brought to you by Nohoku Jewelers. Celebrate the warmth and wonder of this season with Nohoku, Hawaii's finest jewelers since 1924. From island-inspired classics to modern fine jewelry, Nohoku creates pieces that let you share the aloha spirit wherever you go this holiday season. Visit them online, Nohoku, Rockauto.com or explore their many locations across Hawaii and here on the mainland in Vegas, Denver, Phoenix, Dallas, Chicago, Orlando. Also, the DMV outside of Philly at King of Prussia. Visit Nahoku.com. Dustin Sweetelson and Ben Stevens, they're up next right here on VSiN.